If there was another church that had a children's program, that had song service, that had the preaching, that had the testimony Bible Baptist Church, I'd go there. Because I've got six kids. Listen, I don't want them to grow up with second best. If this was second best, why am I here this morning? Listen, if you think this is second best, why are you here this morning? If you came here and saying, well, we'll go to that second best church and see what that second best preacher can... Well, I am the second best preacher, because anyways... Yeah, walked right into that one, didn't I? So you'll get to see what the second best preacher can do this morning. Oh, Philippians chapter 4, and I want to talk to you about names in heaven. Names in heaven this morning. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1 and read down to verse 3. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. I want to talk to you this morning about names in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for your book. And Lord, there's no other book like this book. Father, I am very thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that I came to church this morning. And there is no Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no God like you, Lord. You're one of a kind. You stand alone in all the universe, God, as the best. And Father, you've been so good to me. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your book and the treasures of wisdom hidden therein, Lord, I pray that you'd help this preacher this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help these folks, these good folks, these friends of mine, Lord, to get what they came looking for. And Father, I pray that your spirit would move us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, what you just read was one of just a few references in the Bible. At the end of verse 3, he says, whose names are in the book of life. There's just a few references in the Bible to the book of life. And this is the only time that Paul makes a reference to it here. And he's talking to his fellow laborers at the church there at Philippi. He's offering some encouragement. He's taking some notice of them. And he reminds them that their names are written in the book of life. Now, it goes without saying that God is interested in names and numbers and counting people. I mean, Mark Rogers sings a song that I'd never heard before, and it says, God likes people. Have you ever heard that song before? If you've never heard that song, you need to listen to it. It will make you laugh the first time, and then it'll just about make you cry the second time, because you'd think that with all the trouble that we people are, why does God like us so much? Why does everything that he made it for us. The sacrifice he gave on Calvary gave it for us. What in the world did he ever see in us? And the song says, well, God just likes people, you know? I mean, it's just like if you like Matchbox cars, you collect a lot of them, you know? If you like classic cars, you have a few of them, amen? If you like kids, you have a couple or three or five, amen? And listen, if he didn't like us, He wouldn't have let us live this long. He wouldn't have put us on a place that was this nice. I mean, if God didn't like us, he would have given us a different planet. You know, one that was a little farther from the moon, you know, farther from the sun, you know, and just had like winter all the time. Or he could just given us one that was a little closer to the sun, where it was summer all the time, you know. I mean, we're talking summer. Well, that's an understatement. But listen, God liked us so much, he just put everything just in place. And God is interested in people. And it starts at the very beginning of your Bible. You know, in the Bible, you have several books that by their names, you know that they're just all about the people. There's the book Numbers. And name after name after name. And you or I read it. And we don't know those people. I don't know those guys. That's not my family. And you start reading through there. And about halfway through, if you have a really good attention span, about halfway through, then you still lose it, amen? And then if you're like me, you read about the first chapter and you've got to prop your eyes open with toothpicks, you know, to keep it going. But God is in every person there. God wouldn't have wasted the space in his book to name them if he wasn't interested in them, if they didn't mean something to him. you get farther on in your Bible and you have a book in your Bible called Chronicles, one of the books of the kings in the Bible. And the Chronicles are just as painful, if not more, than Numbers is. And name after name, after family, after tribe, after, and on through there, and the Lord enumerates every one of the children of Israel. God's interested in people. But to have a name written in heaven, you've got a name, of course, we've got this Bible here, and these are names written in the Bible. And I just want to ask you a question. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name written in heaven? To say that it's written in the Bible would be one thing. I know when I first began to study my Bible, one of the possibilities of the Book of Life is that it is actually the Bible that sits in your lap. And that would be why God took the time to name so many names. And you know, you find out that your name in English may have been something different in Hebrew, may have been something different, it may have a counterpart. I find that I have a name in the Bible. I found my name in the Bible. It's just not very flattering. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. And that is where Timothy's grandmother is listed. And her name is Lois. But hey, that is close enough for me. If this is the Book of Life, then my name is in there, okay? It's just spelled different and it's not the right gender, but that's okay. Well, it's alright. I found it. But, you know, it's interesting if you find your name in the Bible. There's been many people that their name is in the Bible and they didn't even know it. Maybe your name's in the Bible, you didn't know it. Be real interesting to find out. I know that, in naming my sons, I wanted to name them something with significance. And I wanted to name their first names as a name to live up to, and their second name as a name for some character and everything. You know, I wanted it to mean something. Now the girls, as long as it begins with an A, we're okay. Now there was a science behind that as well, but I'll let you in on that secret later. But anyways, the fact is that if your name is written in the Bible, that's an honor. That means your parents saw something in there and maybe saw a characteristic, or maybe it was just that you had a relative that was named that and you were the one they picked. I don't know what it was. But whenever you see a name in the Bible, there's a lot attached to that name and many times there's a lot to live up to. In the Bible, you have names listed by record. In let me just say this, in heaven, there are names listed by simple means of record. God is a bookkeeper. The Bible says that in Job that he's keeping up and storing up things in his book. God is a bookkeeper. And just by way of record, your name is probably written somewhere in eternity. Somewhere that God has seen, that the angels have seen, that the devil has seen, your name is there. If for no other reason than by way of record, yours is a numbered name. There are books inside the Bible. There's the Bible as a book, and there are books in the Bible, but then there are books inside of the books of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 5, we read of this is the book of the generations of Adam. And so you have a chapter there, and thank the Lord, it's a short chapter, we wouldn't be able to finish it. But he has the book of the generations of Adam, and he lists from Adam his genealogy all the way to Noah. And of course, everything changed after that, but you have a book written there in Genesis chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 1, you have the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And you have there when all the names begin to make sense as he goes all the way from the beginning down to where Jesus Christ is born. God wasn't keeping track of people for no reason. He had a reason for tracking all those people. But all those people, and you look at those list of names, and even especially in Genesis chapter 5, and every one of those ends with, and he died. And he died. There are some people that show up in the Bible, like Herod the king, that slaughtered the babies there, trying to kill baby Jesus, trying to kill him off to be the king of the Jews. And there are some people in the Bible that God takes, I mean, of the 1,500 pages of this Bible, listen, if God wanted to tell you an exhaustive world history, you wouldn't be able to carry the thing around. There's not a smartphone invented that would fit the amount of information that would be needed for God to give you a comprehensive history of the Bible. So you know what? He gave you what you needed, what you could carry with you, what you could understand. By the way, he also gave you something that is entirely authoritative and you don't need anything else. But in that short space of a book that God gave you, there are some people that God took the time and took the space in his book like King Herod to say, when he died. When he died. Now, just because your name is in the Bible, what I'm saying is Herod is in the Bible. His name is listed. There is his number is down, and yet it is not for any good reason. Just to say that your name is written is not necessarily the best compliment you could pay, because Herod's in there, but God made sure to tell you he's dead. He's dead. God made a point out of that wicked man to make sure you knew when he died. I wonder how many names in the Bible are that way. There are quite a few. Now we find in the book of Esther that the Medo-Persian records, the chronicles of the kings there, they had one primary purpose. And it was a very important purpose. And that was, when the king couldn't sleep, they would read the record of the chronicles of the kings of the Medes and the Persians. And so King Ahasuerus, as he began to have these read to him, the intention was that he should fall asleep. And maybe as you go through your Bible, you read names and you see names and numbers, and it does nothing more than to put you to sleep. But I wonder when God reads the names. I mean, the king reading the names, I mean, we can sympathize with that. But for a God that created you, a God that is actually interested in people, why did he put the names there? Do the names that he reads, do they just put him to sleep? I would say that the names listed simply for the means of record do just that. They just are there as filler. They're just there for the record of it. If you've ever read I call them logbooks. They're not logbooks, but court records. You begin to read those, and so and so stands, or even worse is business meeting notes. Though even worse, you know, that's it. I not business meetings here, but other business meetings I've been to, you know. I think we're having one of those. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, you read, and you know, somebody stands, they make this motion, they sit down, somebody brings in, you know, to the adopt a pet, you know, or whatever, a council meeting, and you read those records, and what is that for? And it gets stored, and people take care of that stuff. And it lasts for years and years and years, and who goes back to read that stuff? There are records kept, and if we keep records, God is also keeping records. The point is this, is that your name is written, it's listed in heaven. But is it just by means of record? Is it just there because you were born and because you died? The Egyptians have their book of the dead, the Lord has his book of life. And whatever that, wherever that book, or however big that book is, that's the book I'm interested in getting my name into. To just have a name listed, I think of the, I've read several books about tragedies at sea, and this is me having never been on a boat, any sort of commercial freight line or anything like that, and never having any desire to. Read of too many disasters on those things, and you know, on the Titanic, you can get on the internet today and find a registry of the names of the passengers of the Titanic. But what the sad thing about it is those people thought it was a privilege when they boarded to have their name on the registry, and when they died, when they sank, it was the worst tragedy, because as relatives would go and look at the registry, the ones that were most joyed were the ones that realized they didn't make it. And there was just a handful of people that didn't board the Titanic that were supposed to. And the rest of them, for 1,500 souls, to have your name on that registry meant certain death. It meant certain death. Listen, just to have your name listed, you say, I can find my name in the Bible. Just to have your name listed doesn't have any significance other than God paid attention and God is keeping record. Every year at September 11th, there's a memorial at the site of the World Trade Towers where they read the names of the people that were killed there. And just a reading of the names. And I remember that when that happened, I remember we didn't have many relatives that we knew of, but you begin to ask questions. And it seemed like we weren't more than three people away from somebody that died there. It was just an acquaintance of an acquaintance, and then you knew somebody, were in touch with somebody that died on that fateful day. And to hear those names read and to realize what the significance of that name is an unmarked grave. Just to have the name is not enough. Do you have your name listed by record, but by redemption? would be the way I'd like to have my name listed in the Bible. We sing a song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. You see, a new name came with a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You get a new name. The Bible tells us that to get your name in heaven, that's worth rejoicing over. But it's more than that. Come to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Follow me, if you would, for just a few verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. The new name given to a person when they get saved, it's the signature of their adoption. It's the signature of their adoption. What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. He says, and not only they, I'm sorry, it's not Romans 8, 23. Back up. This seems like it happened once before. Romans chapter 8, it says that it is the Spirit whereby, verse 15, there it is. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, I apologize. Verse 23 is a different, is later on. But Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Listen, I don't know what that means to you, but I'll tell you what it means is that if I'm walking through Walmart and I hear somebody say, Daddy, if it's not somebody that bears my name, I don't pay attention. If it's not somebody that I know, if it's not somebody in my family, it means nothing to me. But when I see or I hear or I perceive that it is somebody that bears my name, then it catches my attention. And listen, the new name that was given to you when you got saved, if nothing else, you're a Christian. You became a Christian. You started to bear His name when you got saved, and that name entitles you. It is the signature of your adoption. No longer are you signing the name of the man Adam, whereby sin came and by sin all died. Listen, to sign a check on eternity with Adam's name is to come up bankrupt every time, but to sign and to petition the throne of heaven with the name of Jesus Christ changes everything. Changes everything. All the names written in the Bible, the records, the accounts, they don't mean anything. But when you get saved, they start to mean everything. It's just like in Genesis, the genealogy meant nothing up to Noah. And then at Noah, everyone died. All but eight people died. But it means everything when you get to Matthew. And as you begin to read, nobody there dies. There's no death there. You get all the way to the end, and here's Jesus, and He was sent for He shall save His people from their sins. And at the end of Matthew, not many die, just one. And the high priest said, it is fitting that one should die for the people and that the nation perish not. And the Lord said, I'll do you one better. I'll die for the world, and that none of them should perish but have everlasting life. How does He do that? What is one of the gifts that He gives when he saved you is He gave you a new name. In Revelation chapter 3, he speaks about a name written that only that he gives you. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, he talks about he that overcometh, I will give a white stone, and in that stone a new name written. I mean, you want to talk about a seal, to be sealed in stone. You know, I've never had anything named after me. There's still time, though. If you have a car, you know, you have maybe a child, you know, if we have anybody, poor Brother Westover, I'm sorry you missed the chance to name one after me, but it's okay. It's all right. My feelings are not hurt at all. But I've never had anything named after me. You know, I've noticed that there's, you know, you traveling through the United States, in Enid, the streets there were all the north and south streets were presidents from Washington went all the way up, and they stopped just short of Clinton. So, anyways. I don't know why that is. They just ran out of town. Okay, that's all that means. Okay, but anyways, many things in this great United States are named after people and named after the discoverer, named after somebody that meant something to the country. I've never had anything named after me. You know, the only thing I'm going to have named after me if I live a normal life, and the only thing you're going to have named after you, only thing you're going to have graven in stone in this life, is a gravestone. And the Lord said, you know, of all things, He said, I'll give to you a stone with your name written on it. Now, he's not giving us a gravestone, because what he's going to have on his stone, what we have on a gravestone, is you have the day of your physical birth and the day of your physical death. On the stone he'll give you, are you ready? He gives you the day of your spiritual birth. Do you know the day of your spiritual birth? Could you come up with it? Could you find it in the family Bible? Do you remember the time and place? Well, that's the date that will be written on that stone. And there will be no need for another date. Because as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And from that birth date until eternity, there is no death date. No need for the room there. We see what's in the Bible. We took that tradition and we set up a gravestone over folks. And that's all they get named after them. But the new name, the new name. The new name has a date attached to it with a beginning but no ending. The new name has a name attached to it that has all the resources of heaven and earth. It's the signature of the adoption. It's the seal. It's the sign, the signet that God gives, put in that white stone. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Some of these I'll do my best to quote. Some of these you've just got to see them to believe it. You just got to see it to believe it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. The Lord Jesus is just giving his disciples, 70 disciples, giving them power over unclean spirits. He's imparting them kingdom authority. And in verse 20 he says, notwithstanding, don't get ahead of yourself. In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, it's not just the signature of the seal, but it is also the song of the new birth. It is the song of the adoption, that new name. There is a new name written down in glory. It is mine. It is mine. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there. I hope you'll be there as well. I hope you'll be there. I hope you'll be ready. The redemption. We'll speak more on the redemption in a moment, but I want to move to something else. But before I do that, I just want to say in Acts chapter 27, we think of the horror of the registry of the Titanic, and those names, what they meant was death. Paul went through a shipwreck in the book of Acts chapter 27, and shipwrecked off the coast of Melita. And there the Roman soldiers, it was a prison ship, and they had a galley full of prisoners, and the soldiers intended, we're about to shipwreck. One of these prisoners gets loose. It's our life for theirs. We'll just kill them all here, and then we'll risk the sea on our own. The centurion, willing to spare Paul, he called that off. And the Bible says in Acts 27, verse 44, that they escaped all safe to land. Can you imagine the registry of that ship and the unbelief of the shipmasters that said, where's my ship? You know, this is, I think somebody has, if you've ever lent out your boat and it came back some way you didn't intend it for, you'd say, where's my boat? You know, the shipmaster said, where's my ship? And they say, there isn't enough left of it to build a fire out of. And they say, what happened to the passengers? Oh, they are all safe. Every one of us escaped. Listen, that's a registry I want to be on. That's a picture of your Christian life. We sang, my anchor holds, though the angry surges roll, or my tempest-driven soul. Listen, it may get rough, but God is guaranteed passage by listing your name on the roll of redemption. Not on the roll of record. Some of those don't make it. But if your name is on the roll of redemption, you make it. Doesn't matter what the ship looks like when you get there, but you will make it. But there's even one more way that your name could be listed in heaven that is of great importance. We just had, experienced a great week of VBS. So there were so many hard workers, so many helpers, and I hope that next week we're going to have a VBS debriefing, and we're going to come out of the jungle for a few minutes, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to be able to celebrate what the Lord has done, if I could use the word celebrate. We're going to be able to encourage one another for the next time and get the road paved for the future. But listen, what I notice is that there are at Monday night, there were many people show up, and there were so many people show up that I didn't have time to say the name. I mean, if I'm running fast, Brother Mallory. I didn't have time to say Brother Mallory. That's too many syllables when you're at VBS. You don't have time for that, okay? And then you're on to, you know, and then the kids. Parents should only name their kids one syllable names, because at VBS, you don't have time for two, and you sure don't have time for three, okay? So, just remember that, and at least have a nickname that can be shortened up, because, you just don't have time. But, you know, and the kids all had to wear name tags. I think some of the adults wore name tags, and that helped me out, figure out who's who and who's where, and is everybody that said that volunteered, are they there, you know? And once again, I people showed up, and I thought I didn't even know you're supposed to be here. And there they were. And then, like, Brother Maloney showed up, and he wished he hadn't showed up there. And so, but you know, it just happened. So, but the names that I began to call on, the names that of people that were there, the names of the kids that began to show up, the names of the 10 kids that raised their hand and were sincere and serious with the Lord on Wednesday night to trust Him as their Savior, I am well acquainted with them. I have become more acquainted with them than I ever have been in my life. They are extremely significant. In the Bible, there's a transition, and pastors pointed this out before. And in the Old Testament, there are many names listed, and a few of them have some histories attached to them. But for the most part, if you would take it in proportion, there are way more names listed than there are stories told in the Old Testament. The books are called Numbers and Chronicles, and it is God keeping track of His people because He promised to keep track of them, all right? When you get into the New Testament, as you go through the book of Acts, you start to see that the numbers aren't so important anymore. You see at Pentecost a number, and you see at the preaching of Paul and the preaching of Peter. But as you get to about Acts chapter 7, 8, 9, then there's no numbers anymore. They're just people. There's Philip dealing with an Ethiopian eunuch, one man. There's Peter going to Cornelius, one man. And as it goes through, you even into the epistles of Paul, he doesn't ask for attendance at the churches. He doesn't say, you know, last time I was there, you know, there were 53 people, and so I'm hoping you're doing better now. You know, there's none of that there. Now, when you walked in this morning, just in case you didn't know, you were counted. All right, you were counted, and when you gave in the offering, no, I'm just kidding. That wasn't counted. That wasn't noticed. But listen, when you came in this morning, you were counted. Somebody counted you and is reporting on a piece of paper that will show up next week that said, this is how many souls walked into Bible Baptist Church this Sunday morning. You were counted. You say, I don't want to be counted, then you shouldn't have come, all right? I'm sorry, that's the only way around that. I'm glad you did come, though. And if it makes you feel better, we'll subtract one just for you, and we will not count you here this morning, okay? Can we do that? We probably can't do that, can we? I just made a promise I couldn't keep. But listen, you showed up, so you were counted. And it's a blessing. When we ride on the bus, we count the kids that get on, we count the kids that get off. And hopefully that number matches up every time. If it doesn't, if it's only off by one or two, it's not a big deal. So we've never got a call from any parents, never a complaint. So, hey, we're batting 1,000. But you try to, the numbers have to match. But as you move through the Bible, I got sidetracked. As you move through the Bible, the attention goes, the names that are listed are not there purely for a number, but they are all noticed. By record, you have a numbered name. If it's in the Bible or if it's not, it's written in heaven somewhere. By redemption, if you're saved, you have a new name that's written down in glory. You have a name that is indelible in the pages of eternity. It'll never be removed. It'll never be changed. But also I see in the Bible, and by what Paul says in Philippians, I see that there are names listed in heaven by reward. And that is a noticed name in heaven. To have your name listed on the roll to say, I'm going to heaven is one thing. We'll escape. There's going to be a judgment coming that all the names of those that have never trusted Christ as their Savior will be called. You say, why would God do that? Is he embarrassing all the multitudes? Is he calling up the dead just to humiliate them one last time? And I'll leave that to your speculation, but I will say this, the Lord Jesus was awful humiliated when he gave his life, his eternity for those souls. And if for one last time, that's his prerogative, that's up to him. But I know that there's another judgment that you and I will come with, and the Bible says this in Romans 14 verse 12, don't miss it. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You say, how will we appear at that judgment? By name. By name. My last name is Braden. Probably, at least I get it over with. I feel sorry for Pastor Leithley. He's a little farther down on the list, you know. And I feel sorry for those of you that may have the name farther down the alphabet. But listen, how else do you get called? The one time that I've ever been in court, the last time, Lord willing, that I've ever been in court, I had to wait for my name to be called. And it didn't matter what order we arrived to the courtroom in, the judge took the list and got it in alphabetical order, and that's how he went. It didn't matter if you were there an hour early, it didn't matter if you were there 20 minutes late. If he called your name and you weren't there, that wasn't good either. Not good at all. But he called him by name. And listen, the judge of all the earth is going to call our names. The names that are listed by reward in the Bible, you'll find lists of those in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. You say, what is that? Why does God... Those names are elsewhere in the Bible. Those names are for sure written in heaven. Why are they there? They're there because God was pointing out and saying, stop and look at the faith of Noah, at the faith of Enoch. Look at the faith even of Samson. Look at the faith. And he begins to point out, and those names are names that are there because they're taking notice of. God is taking notice of them. God is taking notice. Everyone likes attention. Everyone likes to get attention. Sometimes children do the wrong things to get attention. But God is a good father. And he doesn't give attention for the wrong things. If you're acting out in your spiritual life, in your Christian life, if you're acting out for attention, you can trust that God is a good heavenly father, and you won't get any attention for that. In fact, that's when God will just leave you alone, and then you'll hopefully to the point where you'll begin to sulk and say, why is nothing happening? It's because God is not going to encourage or endorse that kind of behavior. In heaven, God's not going to call up the worst Christians and say, now I just want to let everybody know this is how you should not have acted. He's not even going to give you time. He may not even mention your name by way of rewards. That would be a fear of any fear. I tell you, my first fear that I can remember after hearing somebody preach on the rapture, I was already saved, but I heard somebody preach on the rapture and describing how God would call the names. And I thought, man, I hope he knows mine. I hope he'll remember mine. We were at a store the other day. We were at Taco Bell, I think it was. And I gave him my name for my order. And The lady, I don't even know what she said, but she butchered it bad. And I even spelled it for her. I thought, man, how could you get that wrong, you know? But I would hate for God to, you know, look at my name and say, well, I've never seen it that way before, you know? And you know, I didn't want him to get it wrong. But I tell you, another fear that I began to realize as I began to learn of the judgment seat of Christ is that God is going to call his children up one by one. And by way of reward, he's going to enumerate the things that you've done, the works that you've done in your body, whether they have been good or whether they've been evil. And I want a place there. I want my name listed there. I've made it a goal, and it's mission accomplished, if you want to call it that. My name is listed by way of redemption. But I want my name to be listed on the rewards list. At VBS in the last night, we gave out rewards, and everybody worked all week long, and just as Pastor was saying, with the penny offering, the boys kind of came from behind, but didn't quite win. And you know, at Friday night, there was nothing left for those kids to do to earn anything more for their rewards. It was over. It was over. I had kids that were saying, I want to say my verse now. There is no verses to be said now. I brought a visitor. Wait, that it's over now. This is Friday. This is the day where we give out the rewards, not the day where you earn them. And folks, I know my name's going to be called fairly early because it's a B. I don't know where it falls in the Hebrew alphabet. but B is close in the American alphabet, so that's where we'll go with. But I know this, is that if I'm watching people go ahead of me, and I know I will think then of all the things that I could have done now to earn rewards. I will be looking for somebody to say a verse to. I will be looking for a Bible just to see if I can't read another chapter. I will be doing whatever I can to cram, but if I could just give you a picture into eternity, and as the angels are marking the line where the children of God are going up to the judgment seat of Christ, they would say, "Hey buddy, it's over now. This is judgment time. You can't cram now. It's time for the test. It's over." I want a name that's not just measured. I want one that's marked. In the book of Revelation, he says that he notices there's a group of people whose names are in the book of life, and they are all clothed in white robes. You say, why? They're significant. There's something about them that's different. I want my life to be different. I want it to matter. I want it to stand out from the world. You know, there's a difference in harvest between the way you harvest wheat and the way you harvest watermelons. Did you know they're different? You would have never thought they would be different, but they are different. You know, they get a big old machine, a big old combine. They cut that wheat, and blow it into those trucks, and they go to the elevators and store it there. And, you know, they want to measure, and they will measure how many bushels and how much volume of wheat comes. And it's not that each stalk is insignificant, but it's not enough to be counted. I mean, you don't count them, you just measure them. But when you harvest watermelon, far as I know, they don't have a machine for that. You don't go through with a combine. You don't go through with a tractor and pick up watermelon. You go through and you pick them up one at a time. Because they're significant. They will hurt you if you pick them up the wrong way. They will probably break a machine. If you tried to harvest them the wrong way, they're going to make a mess. You won't have anything left to show for it. Listen, there's a difference. What kind of a Christian are you? You say, well, I'm going to make it. And God's going to take the combine and blow you into the hopper. And you'll make it all right. And God will say, I had, 1,350,000,000,000 and whatever the number is, Christians come from this hemisphere of the globe. And you say, well, I made it. I'm in there. Or do you want to be marked? Or do you want to be one that God says, now, to go get this one, I'm going to step aside. I'm going to take this one. The Bible says that the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, there are classes of thieves, and I've not been a thief on a big scale, but it takes a sinner to know a sinner. I've read a couple books, but the fact is that a thief that is just unprofessional. You know what he does? He goes in and he will just clean out everything he can find. He'll take junk because he's scared, and so he'll take junk. And just, if he's coming into your house, he'll clean out your house. If he gets into a drawer, he'll just dump the whole drawer. Just take the whole thing. Just take junk. Why? Because he's not a professional. I wanted to say this. The Bible says that Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If the Lord is any kind of thief, he's not a thief by our standards, but if he was a thief, he'd be a professional. And let me tell you how a professional thief does it. I'm coming from the account, not my own, but the account of a man named Bill Mason. He's the most successful jewel thief in history. Stolen from the mob, stolen from Bob Hope, stolen from several people. If I begin to name names that you would recognize. And the way he would do it is he would plan weeks and months ahead, find out what their venue was, where they would be, where they would be staying. He would maybe even get hired by the hotel or the resort that they would be at, and that way he could get a lay of the place. Then he would find out what they would be bringing, because he would judge by the amount of security how many jewels or what sort of apparel they'd be wearing on stage. And then, when the night came that they would be performing or they would be out, he would comfortably walk, and many times would just simply walk into wherever they were. Wouldn't have to break in. Nothing in a hurry, nothing in a rush. Many people would see him and think he was supposed to be there. And he wouldn't go through and dump drawers and overturn beds and go searching. He would walk right for what he wanted, and he would open it up and take it, slip it in his pocket, and he'd be done. Wouldn't mess with the junk. He knew what he was there for. If the Lord is a thief, and the Bible says, Behold, I come as a thief in the night. If the Lord is a thief, He knows what He's looking for. There are many of us that are going to make it to heaven and we'll be there. I say us because I feel that that's where I'll be. We'll be there, but it won't be because God took any special care. It was because he sent, you know, maybe the angel that blew that trumpet, He just sent him there to dump a drawer out somewhere and we just happened to be in it. But there will be some that He will go and the Lord will walk right to the place. In fact, some of you have loved ones in heaven now. That it wasn't that the Lord took them in a great swoop in a great operation, but it was one still night where an angel of the Lord walked in and took a precious jewel from your life. And you said, that person meant so much to me, and God took very special care that on their trip to heaven, He made it a very special moment. Some of you have been through that. I believe at the rapture, it'll be just that way for some Christians. Because why? Because God He's not just listing names in the New Testament for the sake of filling paper. He's listing those that have earned a place there. He's calling those that have got their name by reward listed. Not just listed, they're loved. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, where we began, he is talking to Euodias and Syntyche and to Clement. And many times at the end of his epistles, he'll just begin to list people and say hi to these guys. Say hi to Mark, you know, say hi to, and just go right down through that. He doesn't say hi, but you understand. He begins to greet those that he loves. He remembers those names. He salutes Priscilla and Aquila, people that have meant so much to him. These are people that he just wasn't listing names. He was listing loved ones, people that he loved. They weren't just numbers, not just to be counted on the roll of the church at Philippi or the roll of the church at Colossae, but they were chosen. Revelation, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes, He will come and those that are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. You see, two of those operations He does. Called and chosen are entirely up to Him. But to be faithful, that's entirely up to you. That's entirely up to you. But the reward is reckoned. There's a verse, and if you'd like to turn, I'm going to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and I want to get this verse right because it's very significant to me. As I was reading, you know how it is, the Lord, you just happen across things, and there's so much more in this book about the names listed in heaven. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I begin to see that there are many books. There's many books in heaven. And there's many books that God gives a nod to, gives attention to. Not all of those are in the Bible, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the Bible says this. He says, "Now the acts of David the king, first and last." That's a pretty comprehensive history. "The acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel." You have the book of Samuel in your Bible. The book of Samuel, the seer. And in the book of Nathan, the prophet. You don't have the book of Nathan, the prophet. And in the book of Gad, the seer. And you don't have the book of Gad, the seer either. Why did God reference them? He's got them. And may I just say that the acts of the king of David are listed in the book of Samuel, the seer. He saw what went on. The book of Nathan, the prophet, he knew how it was going to turn out. The book of Gad, the seer, there are people watching you. And may I add to this, and not stretching the scripture at all, it's also written in the book of God, the judge, the seer, the prophet. You think it's bad that when people get in your business and when people notice about what you're doing and if somebody notices that you are or not at church, just think about what's written in the book of God, the seer, the one who sees all. And if you're like me, I want to get to heaven. That's not up to me. I trust Jesus Christ. So I make it to heaven. The Bible says that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know what will gain me time before the judgment seat? You know what will give me a chance at the judgment seat is if I've done something for him. If I walk up to the judgment seat and there's nothing to report, there's nothing to observe, as they say, nothing to see here, it will be, Braden, thank you, step aside. Next. I don't mean to throw or to cause you to think any differently about heaven, because it is going to be the greatest privilege that you or I have ever walked into. But to have your name listed by way of reward in heaven, to have a second before the throne where he says, I see here, there's a tally of souls that you are responsible for. I see here that there is a family that was raised the right way that you're responsible for. I see here that there is a responsibility at Bible Baptist Church that you fulfilled faithfully. Nobody noticed. I am God the seer. And I noticed. That will be worth all the money that I'm storing away for retirement, which is not very much. It'll be all worth all the money that I've spent that I should have put away for retirement. It will be worth all the sweat. It will be worth all the tears to have my name listed that way. I know I've got to give an account of myself to God. And I want my name to be called on the roll of rewards. Let's have everyone stand with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Just let me review for a second. By way of record, your name is written in heaven. You were born. Everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed. Just think about the message for just a moment. By way of reward, I